We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Thursday, it's September 2nd, it's 2021, and we have five baseball games to talk about here on today's slate. I'm joined by my buddy, Jordan Cooper, Blenderhead. What's happening, my friend?
I'm happy the baseball season's almost over. I'm winding down my MLB DFS play with the NFL coming back, and we got Champions League soccer Tuesdays and Wednesdays, so I'm focusing more of my bankroll towards those sports. Baseball's always here. September, it's, we get some call-ups. Not as much as we would in the past, because they don't have 40-man rosters now. So it's not going to be as hectic as it normally would be.
Yeah, I mean, football's right around the corner. Like you said, the old school football is happening. And I know you like to dabble into that. I mean, I got NASCAR going, so it's like NASCAR, baseball, and then football. And I started really like getting into best balls here recently again too. So, something to kind of do. But I mean, I'm just kind of chasing. I'm not going to lie to you, Jordan. I'm kind of chasing the overlay on drafters because it looks like it's going to be those tournaments look like they're going to overlay a lot. So,
yeah, there's no reason not to. I mean, even on DraftKings, I think maybe some of their contests may overlay. So I'm not saying that I'm going to get into the best ball streets, but if you're getting in for that reason, at least that makes sense.
Yeah. And I mean, I like to stack a lot. So I just like, all right, who haven't I stacked yet? And best balls to me, you got to get lucky. I'm not going to sit here and say strategy and like, it's not skill and stuff, but you got to get lucky too. Like at the end of the day, I mean, most of the teams that used to do well in best ball are teams that, one, don't have a ton of injuries, and two, nail those guys out of nowhere. So, I mean, yeah. Anyway, five baseball games, a lot to talk about because, I mean, I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. Pitching on the slate stinks. So it'd be fun to see where your head's at. But, I mean, my favorite pitcher might be in course. So, I mean, that's how this slate's going to go. We get started here with Miami at New York facing the Mets. 7.5 total. Mets a 180 favorite. Zach Thompson, Carlos Carrasco. Any interest here in Zach Thompson?
I'm not sure. I could pay $7,500. I mean, anytime that they list him as the starting pitcher, half the time he doesn't even pitch, right? Sometimes they open with someone else. Like pitching on this slate, in general, my view from an overall perspective is that I mean, we'll get to the guys that are in Tampa. Like, there's no, like, I don't see anyone putting up a ceiling. Like, I just see that even though some of these pitchers are like overpriced or bad, it's hard for me to see a pitcher getting like putting up 40 points, putting up even 30 points. So I'm not as concerned about my pitching selection as I am with the stacks that I play. So I'm more likely to pay down at pitching. So Zach Thompson at 7,500, you tell me he's pitching 80 pitches, like against the Mets, that ain't horrible.
I mean, they're all, I just look at this slate and I'm like, basically these pitchers are all really close to the same talent level. What type of ownership are we looking? And it's really tough to talk about that the night before, but I mean, there's plenty of bats that I like in the slate. And when I look at these hitters, I'm just going to, or pitchers, it's just going to be like, I mean, what kind of ownership are these guys getting? And that's where I'm going to be looking more than like who's facing what. But I mean, Zach Thompson's in play. He's not a terrible play. You're probably maxing out at like 75 pitches, maybe 85 pitches as like an absolute max. And then on the other side of this game, you got Carlos Carrasco, who's coming off of a really good game against the Giants, getting the Miami Marlins here. I mean, he looked terrible at times this season, but I mean, I think he's another guy you could potentially take a shot on here because the Marlins stink.
I think Carlos Carrasco is going to be one of the higher owned pitchers on the slate, probably as an SP2. I don't think an SP1. I don't think you're necessarily playing anyone cheaper than him. Maybe at the same price, we'll get to him. So to me, I'm not a big fan of playing Carlos Carrasco on a 5-game slate if he's going to be 35-40% owned. But the Marlins are essentially the best matchup on the slate. So, and they're playing in Citi Field, they're playing in New York. So I mean, everything's going positive for him. But I mean, Carrasco is someone that, yeah, he could go out and he could throw 6-8 strikeouts, or he could go out and give up 6-8 runs against any team. So for me, Carrasco is more of an ownership play. I think he's going to be popular. I may be interested in some Marlins bats.
Listen, I like it. Like I said, Carlos Carrasco at times this season, he's been not so good. Let's talk Marlins bats. I mean, you're looking at them more of just a way to get contrarian, right? Like chalk pitcher, low owned stack. They're cheap. So you could build a Marlins stack and then play whoever you want with them because you're already getting the contrarian of them and they're cheap enough. You could play anybody with them. Did I nail it? Is that why you like the Marlins here?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think the chances of them being the highest scoring team on the slate is low, but for their prices, Jesus Sanchez, 2,500, Aguiar, 3,200, Anderson, 3,000, Alfaro fills a catcher spot, Jazz Chisholm, 4,200. So expensive for the Marlins, but he fills a middle infield spot that's going to be fairly weak on this slate. Five-man stack, I'm not sure about, but three-man to save some salary and then pay up for bats, maybe in cores. I could see using the Marlins to get different in an otherwise chalky lineup.
All right. Mets. Any interest in the Mets here?
I think they're going to be low-owned at their prices. I think Lindor, Alonso, Baez. I mean, the guy's in like the 4K range. VR, if he leads off. I mean, I'm not a big fan of, you know, playing. I'm not a big fan of playing the Mets. I'm not a big fan of playing the Mets at home, especially on a slate with cores. But for ownership purposes, I think the bats in this game may be the lowest owned on the entire slate. Maybe the second lowest owned on the entire slate, and they're affordable enough that a 5-man stack, I don't know, but I mean, like, it's a 5-game slate. If this is a 12-game slate, we wouldn't be talking about, it would be just passing on this game to begin with. But these aren't bad hitters. Lindor, Alonso, Baez, VR, Nimmo, Conforto, McNeil. I mean, we're not talking about like horrible players. It's just that for their prices, you'd rather go into other games. You could build other lineups. So, like, I'm not excited to play the Mets, but I can't see them being more than 10% owned.
Yeah, I mean, probably have a little bit more interest in the Marlins than the Mets because of the price, but I completely understand what you're saying here. Let's move on. We got Boston at Tampa, 8 total in this game. The Rays, a 170 favorite, Rodriguez against McCallahan. Any interest here in Eduardo Rodriguez?
I think Erod is a much better pitcher than people think he is. The Rays strike out a whole bunch, maybe not necessarily against lefties. I still think he's going to get ownership, though. I mean, I think the pitchers in this game, both of them get ownership. I don't mind playing Erod. I mean, I think I'd rather play Erod than Carlos Carrasco if they were both the same ownership for 1,000 more. But I mean, from a real life pitching perspective, I think Eduardo Rodriguez may be the most talented pitcher on the slate. It's just that he tends to get into trouble. I mean, that Erod may look good for an inning or two, and then by like the fourth inning, you're like, what? Why is he at 93 pitches already? I mean, to me, that caps his ceiling, but I really don't think anyone on this slate has a high ceiling at pitcher. So can I get 15 points out of Erod? I think so.
Yeah, I mean, again, like I said, you look at the slate and you're like, I mean, all these guys are the same pretty much. So I just want to look and see ownership. But I do think Eduardo's okay. I mean, you saw with Chris Sale, this isn't the same like really heavy, high strikeout team that we're used to seeing for Tampa. So, I mean, for that reason, I mean, if it wasn't a 5-game slate, I wouldn't have any interest in Eduardo Rodriguez. But, I mean, it is what it is. The other side of this game, you got McCallahan. He's a lefty, and the Red Sox are dealing with some COVID issues. Xander Bogaerts is out. Kiki Hernandez is out. It's not a full-strength Red Sox lineup. What are you doing here with McCallahan?
Well, the problem with McClanahan, he has the highest K upside on the slate, but not like 8K upside. I mean, like his strikeout prop may be 6.5 or something. The problem is that people are, I mean, he's 10-1. And he probably shouldn't be 10-1. He's only 10-1 because he's the best pitcher on the slate. And I think his ownership is going to go there. I think people are going to play him and go, give me 20 points. The Red Sox only have a 3.5 implied run total. I mean, if price wasn't an option and ownership wasn't an option, I'd play McClanahan in pretty much every lineup. And I don't care if he only pitches 85 pitches. Because to me, for a 10.1K pitcher, It's very suspect when you see his past starts that he does well and he comes out after 5 innings. So, like, why am I paying 10K? He has to be very efficient because I think the Rays are kind of babying him. I don't see him going out and throwing 110 pitches, and that's kind of what I want for that price tag.
Yeah, I mean, the price is not ideal. I could potentially see his ownership being low. I think like you
really
said,
think it's going to be low. I think it'll be 40% owned
against against Boston. I think
look at the pitchers on this slate.
I think McKenzie and Carrasco are the two chalk pitchers on this slate.
Oh no, I don't think. I think McClanahan will be twice as owned as McKenzie.
Oh, I feel a little jelly bean wager coming here. I would be shocked if McKenzie comes in lower than McCallahan.
Okay, well I take that bet.
All right, well. Yeah, jelly beans. I mean, I used to take jelly beans from Siege all the time. So
well, that's not that hard to take jelly beans from Siege.
It sure is. His hot takes it all the time.
Well, when you have 1,000 of them, some of them are going to hit.
Oh, get off my boy, CJ. All right. Red Sox bats. I mean, this lineup's still solid. You got JD Martinez, you got Renfro. Renfro's 4,200. Dahlbeck has power. He's 3,100. I don't know if I'd 5-man stack the Red Sox here, especially this game being in Tampa, but I could see as a secondary stack. I could see one-offs. What are your thoughts here on the Red Sox?
Well, if you wanted to play Kyle Schwarber and Rafael Devers at extremely low ownership on a 5-game slate, this is the time to do it. I'm not saying I will, but at 5,100 and 5,800, lefty-lefty against probably the highest upside pitcher on the slate, and the Red Sox with only a 3.5 run total. I mean, they're going to be like 2-3% owned on a 5-game slate. I'm just giving you the case on whether or not to do it. I don't know if I'm willing to pull the trigger on that, but the Red Sox act should be low owned because I believe that McClanahan's going to get more ownership than McKenzie. And you could make the stack happen with Vasquez or Dahlbeck, or like they play like a Ryu's in the middle infield. You get a cheap, as long as you get like three cheap pieces, you could fit in a JD. You could fit in Schwarber. Use one of the lefties in the line. Use Verdugo even, because I think the Red Sox are going to be loaned as it is, and the lefties are people aren't going to use them.
Tampa bats. I mean, Nelson Cruz against lefty, always in play. What are your thoughts here on Tampa?
Tampa's just kind of priced. Like, it's hard to stack them because really, like, Margot is fine, 2,600. Okay, if he's batting in the middle of the order. But everything else to stack him up, be it 4,500, 5,400, 5,100. Zunino's 4,400. So unless you're playing, like, two cheap pitchers or something, like, it's hard for me to choose, like, the same price stack for the Rays as I would for, like, the Braves. But that also means that less people are going to do that also. So I think the Rays go under-owned, but you're going to be giving up a significant amount of projection in order to get.
All right, moving on to Wrigley. No total in this game night before. We got Keller going up against Thompson. I'm going to pull up the weather really quick. Any interest here in Mitch Keller?
He should be a better pitcher than he is, but he isn't. But he's facing the Cubs. This is the vomit game. This is the game where the pitchers could do well or get killed, because the batters are either horrible or the pitchers are horrible. It's going to be one of the two. Maybe the game only ends, it's 2-1 and no one gets there. But I have to have interest in the 6,200 for Mitch Keller. He does have strikeout upside. He could also walk seven guys, but it is the Cubs. They virtually have a minor league lineup now, but the Pirates also have pretty much a minor league lineup also. I don't mind as a cheap pitcher. Like I said, I don't think there's going to be any pitcher on the slate that puts up like that has a good chance of putting up 25 points. So can I get 12 out of Mitch Keller? Maybe I can against the Cubs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's the wind's blowing in, like it's projected, but blowing in 8 to 10 miles an hour. It's Mitch Keller, but I mean, this offense is so bad that it's just like, I mean, we're going to say the same thing. I mean, Keegan Thompson's probably not going to throw enough pitches, but I mean, it's the same argument on the other side. The Pittsburgh offense stinks too, but yeah, I have slight interest in Keller. What about Thompson? I mean, it's probably just a pitch count thing, right?
Yeah. If it wasn't for the fact that I don't think it throws more than 70, if that, that it just like, why not play Keller, who, if he did amazingly pitch well for once, he could pitch 90 to 100 pitches. So like 5,600, do I have to, I mean, at that point, why don't I just play Chichi Gonzalez in Coors? He's going to be the lowest owned pitcher. But at least Chichi, if he has a good game, which a good game to him is not giving up more than three runs and having only one strikeout, but he could pitch 100 pitches. So yeah, for me, it's not the matchup against the Pirates. It's just more the fact of like Keegan Thompson ain't a strikeout pitcher. And like, I need these pitchers to go five inning. I need to get them to be eligible for the win. And I'm not even sure if Keegan Thompson could do that.
All right. Pittsburgh bats. I mean, you like your vomit stacks. This team's cheap. I don't think there's a guy in the lineup over 4K. Could you see yourself using Pittsburgh as a vomit stack here?
I mean, you could. That the only thing that I don't like about both teams that are cheap, the Cubs aren't as cheap, not nearly as cheap, is that I could play the Pirates for the same price I could play the Marlins. I think the team totals are going to be close enough. The only difference is that Carrasco is going to be owned and Thompson isn't. So like, how much relative value difference am I going to get? So like, I'd rather, if I had a choice between the Pirates or the Marlins, I'd rather take the Marlins, because at least when the Marlins do well, all those Carrasco lineups are dead. But when the Pirates do well, how much Keegan Thompson is out there? So if I project the Pirates and the Marlins for similar medians and similar prices, Like, I'd much rather take the Marlins. I'm not saying that you can't play some Pirates, Ben Gamel, Brian Reynolds, Colin Moran, take some of the lefties, Yoshi. I mean, this is a horrible lineup, but I mean, it's a 5-game slate. I mean, you can't cross any team off the list. But like I said, like if you're choosing, I'd much rather play the Royals against supposedly mega chalk McKenzie. Just that I don't think the pitchers in this game are going to be high enough owned.
Yeah, I mean, I could see maybe using like a 3-man stack from Pittsburgh here, but I guess like Reynolds and Moran, but getting that third piece, maybe I go like Stallings or whoever catches and just take up a catcher spot. The Cubs, Chicago Cubs, they're still a Major League Baseball team. Do you have any interest here in the Chicago Cubs?
Who's going to play Rafael Ortega for 4,100?
I mean, not I.
I'm not making a count on crazy people, I guess. I mean, just Patrick Wisdom, 4,700. I mean, he's the closest thing to a major league hitter. What, Hap? Maybe. Hayward is a shell of himself. I mean, yes, it's a cheap stack also, but I'll make the same case that I did with the Marlins. Is that I see the Cubs projecting similarly to the Marlins, that the Cubs are actually more expensive than the Marlins. And not as many people are going to be playing Keller as they're going to be playing Carrasco. Being the fact that I'd rather play Keller at a $6,200 price tag in a different type of lineup, like that just means I'm less likely to have any Cubs exposure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably not going to play the Cubs here, but if you were going to play the Cubs, I think it'd be Wisdom. And Wisdom.
I mean, they're so bad. Frank Schwindel, he apparently could hit.
I just can't even. All right, moving on. Indians, Royals, 8.5 total. Indians a 120 favorite. McKenzie, Minor. Again, I think McKenzie is going to be one of the highest pitchers owned on the slate. Blender does not agree with me. But this guy he's coming off of two really strong games facing a weak offense. He's thrown at least 6 innings in 4 straight games, 5 of his last 6. I have a hard time not seeing him be chalk here.
I just think people will spend the 800 and get McClanahan. And I don't see many McClanahan-McKenzie lineups. I think you're going to see more McClanahan-Carrasco lineups. I mean, because you could do that and still stack the Braves. I mean, when we get to Coors, you'll see that the Braves, some of their hitters are underpriced, and you could still do it. So I just... Is McKenzie going to be owned? Yeah, of course he is. But I don't see him being 40% owned. So to me, at 40, if he's going to be 40%, 50% owned, like I may not have him in a single lineup. I'd rather play McClanahan at that point. I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad pitcher, but like no pitcher on the slate should be high owned. I mean, that's kind of the point I'm making. The pitching on this slate sucks. So the fact that anyone is more owned than anyone else, that's an inefficiency in and of itself. So if McKenzie happens, oh, maybe I'm right and McKenzie's only 12% owned, then I'll play a bunch of McKenzie. But if he's 42% owned, get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, if he does project to be lower owned, I have a ton of interest. I, again, think he's going to be pretty popular here. So we shall see. We shall see. I mean, the Kansas City lineup is bad. I mean, the other, like, McCallahan's facing the Red Sox. Like, who do you want to play against? I just think more people are going to lean towards McKenzie, but I've been wrong before, and I'd have no problem admitting when I'm wrong. Mike Minor on the other side of this game. It actually feels like Mike Minor might actually pitch today. I've talked about him the last 2 days. They've changed it morning of, but it actually feels like Mike Minor might pitch. And I mean, it's a 5-game slate. Mike Minor can go out, throw 6 innings, put up 15 fantasy points, and at 7,200 on a 5-game slate, it's not going to kill you.
No, I agree with that. And this Indians lineup, outside of like Ramirez, basically outside of like 2, 3, 4, like, it's not a very good lineup. And I mean, yeah, they're cheap to stack. So when we talk about backs on the other side, so like, I'd rather play Minor than Mitch Keller, but I mean, Mitch Keller's facing the Cubs. I mean, the Indians are still better than the Cubs, but at 7,200 or whatever, like I have nothing against Mike Minor. I mean, at times he's actually really good, and at times he's really bad. So like his ERA is over 5, but I mean, his range of outcomes tends to be much wider. So he could go out. He could strike out eight this game. Yeah, he could also give up eight runs. I mean, but I'm saying that about every pitcher because, I mean, Carrasco could do the same thing. I mean, so to me, like I said before, the pitching really comes down to, I don't mind playing any pitchers on the slate that could pitch at least five innings, and I'll play the ones that are lower owned. And if Minor happens to be that like sub 15% owned guy, then I'm more likely to play him.
Bats in this game. I mean, on the Cleveland side, Reyes, Ramirez, always very much in play. What else are we looking at here with Cleveland?
Well, the thing about Cleveland is that even though they have Ramirez and Reyes over 5K, you could still make the stack happen because you got Harold Ramirez, Mercado, or Zimmer. Zimmer probably won't start because Miner's a lefty. They got Owen Miller, Austin Hedges, Yu Chang, like Miles Straw still 3K. Like, you can make the five-man stack happen, no problem, because when you have nearly minimum price guys in the lineup, I mean, yeah, take Ramirez, take Reyes, and take three of the 2K guys, and there you go. But like I said before, I don't know how Owen Miner is going to be. If you're correct, if I have to give you a jelly bean, that means I'm going to be having royal stacks.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't play the Royals. I could play anybody against a chalk pitcher on a five game slate. Let's be honest. I mean, those are the days that like you win your most money in DFS on these like smaller slates where there's chalk pitcher and nobody wants to stack against him. And you make 10, 15 stacks against that guy and one of them hits. And it's just like, all right.
Yeah. But you just also have to live for the 30 other slates that you lose all your money.
No, yeah, you lose your money way more than you make your money, but all it takes is one tournament. Like, it could take one time doing that out of 30, and you pay for the season plus the next season. So, I mean, you know, you just got to look at it that way, too.
But that's exactly how I do look at it.
I know.
People think I'm nuts, but people think I'm nuts, Stevie. They think I'm nuts.
I've been preaching this for how many years? I've been talking contrarian tournament play for years and hedge stacks and stuff. And people are like, huh? People
don't want to do it. They're scared.
I mean, you can't, if you're scared to lose your money, don't play DFS. Don't bet. I mean, it's as simple as that. So
you can't. I mean, look at the price. Carlos Santana, 2,700. Mondesi had a good game, 4,500. Michael Taylor's 2,200. I mean, yeah, it's not the greatest of lineups. Yeah, you have to pay up for Sal Perez. Yeah, you have to. Nicky Lopez is batting second now. Maybe he could get three hits and a stolen base or something. He ain't hitting the ball out of the park. Merrifield's 4,800. No one's going to play him. So, like Benintendi, 3,200. I mean, you could easily make this happen. And if McKenzie's going to be as owned as you think he is going to be, I'm much more likely to play the Royals. Now, if McKenzie's only going to be 20%, then I'd much rather play the Marlins. Like, really, McKenzie versus Carrasco determines. Like, would you rather, Stevie? Would you rather play the Royals or the Marlins?
Probably the Royals.
Okay, so they can't be that bad.
You just look at the lineup, and the lineup is a little bit better, right? You know, Perez, I would guess he has the most home runs by any hitter on this slate. He's at like 38 or something. So, I mean, you got Perez, he has power. Mondesi has speed. So, like, you get the stolen base upside from Mondesi. Whit Merrifield is someone that has power. So, I mean, those three people right there are better than anything else you're going to get on the Marlins. So I probably would look to play Kansas City more.
Or you play both. Play Kansas City plus Marlins. You play both pitchers from the Tampa game, and then you hope there you go.
All right. We're getting off our rocker here. We're moving on to the last game. The Braves and the Rockies, 11 total. Braves are 140 favorites. We got Chichi Gonzalez against Tuki Toussaint. Any interest here in Tuki Toussaint?
I don't care that it's Coors. It's the Rockies. It's this Rockies lineup. Tuki Toussaint has upside. I don't think he's as good of a pitcher as people think he is. His underlying metrics are not as good. They're not bad, but they're not as good as, you know, he has some really, really solid outings that kind of inflates his statistics. But at 8K on this slate with the pitching, like, I don't care. It's cool. I don't care. It's five games. I don't care if it's in Coors. I think his ownership will be lower because of it. I don't think it'll go unowned. I think people will. I think Toussaint will still be 15 to 20% owned. But if this was in Atlanta, Toussaint may be the chalkiest pitcher on the entire slate. So if you just take away the ballpark factor, like, you should probably be playing him. And, you know, the Rockies are kind of priced up that I really don't want to play them as bats, that I don't mind taking a shot on Toussaint.
He's probably my favorite pitcher on the slate from an overall perspective. But I will say this. This is my biggest concern with Touki Toussaint. My biggest concern is he has a sinking fastball. That's what he throws. And he's very efficient with it. And the altitude is not good for sinkers. That's all I'm going to say. It's my biggest concern with Touki Toussaint. He's a good ground ball pitcher. I mean, he has a good curveball. He has good stuff. I disagree with you. I think he is talented. I think he's still like a year away. But I mean, I do think this is going to be someone we're talking about for the next 5 to 10 years. I think he's that talented. Maybe he's Kyle Gibson talented and we talk about him the other way. All joking aside, I like Touki Toussaint. I like the price, and I don't care that it's in Coors. The bottom of the Rockies lineup is atrocious. Chichi Gonzalez on the other side. I mean, if you want to get super different, you could play Chichi Gonzalez because Atlanta is going to be the team that everybody tries to play today. But I don't have any interest in Chichi Gonzalez.
Right. The only reason you have interest in Chichi is that he could at least pitch 100 pitches. That's there you go. There's the positive. He could at least pitch 100 pitches. Now he may give up 12 runs in those 100 pitches, but at least he could do it. So, I mean, that puts him above Keegan Thompson, right? But it doesn't really do much other than that. The only reason to play him is because you're using leverage to, like, I'm fading the Braves, and if the Braves fail, maybe Chichi puts up 12 to 15 points. Like, he doesn't need a ceiling. But just understand, anytime you do that, people try to do these leverage things with the pitcher. It's quite possible the Braves stack doesn't get there and Chichi Gonzalez still has negative points. Like, the Braves stack not getting there is the Braves only putting up 4 runs. So it's like the stack doesn't get there, but Chichi gave up 4 runs with no strikeouts in 4 innings, and he's sitting there with -2. So it didn't gain you anything by playing. Oh, yeah, the stack failed, but also the pitcher failed. So, like, you still need a good game at Chichi Gonzalez, and I think I'd much rather play Mitch Keller for 1,100 more than Chichi, but I wouldn't call you nuts on a 5-game slate in a non-Braves lineup to throw in some Chichi.
Yeah, I might call you nuts, but I would understand.
But you're doing it for that purpose. You're not doing it because you think he's a good pitcher. You're doing it purely from a strategic perspective.
Sure. Sure.
That's what you tell yourself as you end up in last place.
All right, let's talk Atlanta bats. I mean, it's no secret. They're the top stack on the slate today. Chichi is very hittable. They're expensive. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Blender, here, but I think looking at like the 5-6-7 type stack or something along like towards the middle bottom of the order, they're on the road. They'll likely still get 4 at-bats if the stack is doing well, and everybody's going to be stacking like the top of the order, and it might be a way to get different on a 5-game slate.
Yeah, but I think you could do it in any way you want. I think Peterson's 3,900, Soler's 4,000, Duvall's 4,600, Darno's 4,300. I mean, you take 3 of those guys, you take Freeman, Riley, Swanson, 2 of those guys, you could still play the 2 pitchers you want to play. I mean, like, it's easy to build a lineup. Who bats 8th is maybe it's like someone like Adrianza. He's only 2K. So if you want to just a really cheap bat and you throw that in, there's going to be, other than Freeman, Riley, and Swanson, and we don't know if Albies is even going to play.
He's not going to play. They say he's going to miss a couple games.
Okay, so that makes it even cheaper. So there you go. So you don't have to worry about it. So, yeah, the Braves will be the chalk. They're going to project as the highest-owned team by far on this slate. I mean, probably – I mean, the lines aren't in, but I'm going to assume that their implied team total is at least 1.5 runs over the next team, if not more than – it may be 2 to 2.5 runs over the next team. Yeah, their implied total may end up being like 6.5, 6 to 6.8 or something. Play any of the bets. Like, if you're playing a stack of another team, then play with the Braves. Like, the Braves will be chalk. They are going to be the best projected. But from a strategic perspective, like, if you fade the Braves on this slate, you could pretty much build whatever lineup you want, and you'll have enough leverage to win a large field GPP, I think, just by doing that.
Rockies. I mean, as much as I like Tuki Toussaint in this spot, I kind of like the Rockies because it's still Coors and it's still a five-game slate. And if Tuki Toussaint's getting ownership, then I have no issues playing the Rockies here.
Right. The issue is that the Rockies stack is about as expensive as the Braves stack. So what will end up happening is that they'll come in much lower owned than they should, even given this matchup, just that they're obviously a worse team, right? Blackman, Story, Crone, I mean, they're not bad. McMahon, Rogers, Sam Hilliard, if he's in the lineup, he's only 2,400. Okay, that's doable. Do I want to pay 4,500 for Elias Diaz? No. But I mean, it's a combination of it's a good run environment. They're going to still have a high implied total for this slate. Probably 4.8, 5.2, something like that. But it's just that you're overpaying for them. But hopefully you get the ownership discount in doing so. So I've nothing against playing the Rockies. And I've nothing against playing Toussaint or playing the Rockies. And I think they're both going to be under-owned. They're going to be owned, but not as owned as they should be.
All right. Let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. Give me a guy under 8K to get six or more strikeouts today.
Under, right, not even at 8K. Under?
Under 8K. Yeah, you can't take Carrasco or Tuki Toussaint.
Well, now there's really no, I mean, come on. Mitch Keller. I'm going to force you to take Chi-Chi.
Yeah, I think I would take
really,
Mike Minor.
I don't think Chi-Chi has thrown six strikeouts in the past six starts combined.
I'll take Mike Minor. Over 8K to go under 15. Who's your bust?
I'll go with Tristan McKenzie.
All right. I'll go McClanahan just because now it's just fun at this point. Over 4K to hit a home run, not in Coors. Who do you got today?
That eliminates 20% of the slate.
Yep.
Hit a home run over 4K. Over 4K. Over 4K. Let's take a look. Over 4K. Wow, this is tough. I'll double down. I'll go Sal Perez.
All right. Give me Nelson Cruz. Under 4K to get two hits. Still not in Coors. Who do you got? Who's
still not in Coors? Just get two hits. That's all they need. Two hits.
Could be two singles, two home runs.
Two singles, two home runs. Two of something. I'll say Whit Merrifield. I'm just gonna go all in on the Royals.
All right. Whit Merrifield's under 4K?
Oh, no, he's not under 4K. He probably should be under 4K. Let's see. I'll pick someone else then. There's nothing to put. What am I picking for? I can just pick anyone. I'll just for the giggles. I'm going to pick Nicky Lopez just for the giggles.
All right. I'll go Brian Reynolds. I don't think he's had a two-hit game in like over 2 weeks, but why not? Under 4K, or we already did that one. Just kidding. Give me a stack to score six or more runs.
And it can't be in Coors.
Can't be in Coors.
They eliminated 20% of the slate.
That's right.
What happens if I say none? Can I make the field? Can I make a field bet?
Nobody.
Nobody does.
It'd be a really boring slate. If that
those are the slates where stacks don't win, so I'd rather not happen. I'll go with the Royals. I'm just doubling down on this McKenzie nonsense.
All right, I'll go Red Sox because I'm going to double down too. I'll raise your raise.
I'm all in. I'm all in.
Over the top it is. All right, Blender. That's going to wrap it up. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
The NFL schedule is out. If you take a look on Roto Grinders, the pregame show goes on regardless. And we'll be talking about NFL, NBA, MLB, strategy, MMA, soccer, whatever. It's a general strategy show. It's the DFS pregame show. So when baseball's on, maybe baseball, maybe NFL, maybe showdown, maybe whatever. So that's at 11 o'clock in the mornings, Monday through Friday. But I'll also be on for Monday nights and Thursday nights before lock for the showdown slates for NFL Mondays with Will. Justin STL cards on Thursday. And then the Advanced Sports Analytics show is back, and that'll be Fridays. That'll come out. I believe we're pre-recorded, and then it'll come out on the feed and on YouTube. And that's with Stuart Gibson and Brandon Adams. We're back for another year of that. And so I hope to see everyone once again for the NFL shows. We got a lot of content. So we got premium content also. So you could always sign up for a combo premium or just an NFL premium package, rotogrinders.com/premium. And I believe that there's a link in the podcast description. If you click on it, you get $10 off your first month.
Make sure you guys are checking that out. Premium. I'm doing showdown slates for expert survey this year too. So check that out. You can listen to Jordan and read all my crazy takes because I do crazy stuff on showdowns and it doesn't always work, but I mean, it only has to work one or two times a year. So that's going to wrap it up for Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow talking more baseball. We got Eyes 819, Keith on the show tomorrow. So make sure you guys are checking that out. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you guys again tomorrow.